starting a new series that we're going to be in for 3 weeks called The Power of Habit. And one of the books that the pastors in our network, we will read books together just for our personal development as well as to be inspired. And one of the books that we read this last year is by a Christian author. The book is called You Are What You Love. And the concept is pretty simple yet really important. And that is that the things that you love are the things that you're going to spend your time, your money, your talent on. And the things that you love are going to be the things that ultimately shape you. They're going to be the things that become habit. They're going to be the things that really guide and direct your life. And so for better or worse, you are, and I am, becoming the things that we love. And so what is it that we honestly love? Our mission statement here at Crow River is we want to be people who live by faith and are known by love. And all of that is centered around Jesus. That we want to be a church that has genuine faith in Jesus. And what I've seen in my life, and I imagine that many of you have experienced it, is that you get into a season of life where things are hard, things are falling apart, you're not quite sure why the things that are happening in your life are going on, and you're left at a sort of crossroads, and you're left asking the question of, do I still have faith in God, or does this just not make complete sense, and because of that, I'm giving up on God. And what we're trying to be is we're trying to be a church that, regardless of the circumstances of our life, regardless of how well we understand what it is that's going, regardless of how fair it may be, we are going to put our faith continually in Jesus. Because just like we sang earlier, we believe that our God can turn even the worst things in our life into good. And we've seen that play out in people's lives here in our church. But we also want to be known by love. Jesus was clear that the way that people will know that we are his disciples, that we are his followers, is the way that we love each other, the way that we love the world, the way that we love people who are marginalized and forgotten. And so if we want people to see Jesus, if we want people to see Jesus in us, it's going to be the way in which we love one another and the way in which we love God. Now, faith can be a bit of a tricky thing because I think for a lot of people, they might say that faith is something that you profess, but it's not necessarily something that I'm experiencing in my life. That for a lot of people, they might say, if they're honest, that I want to believe, and I want to believe in Jesus, and I want to believe in all that the Bible says, yet when it comes down to it, it's not having a real impact on my life and the way that I live. And interesting enough, Jesus understood this. He knew this about people. And so what we see when we look at Scripture and we look at the interactions that Jesus had with people is that it was so real and so powerful that people, whenever they came in contact with Jesus, they left changed. They either were transformed, they either were healed, or they were challenged. Challenged enough that they said, I can't believe this, or I can't believe that he's the Messiah. Nobody approached Jesus and had a vanilla experience, a boring experience. People always left with real, practical change and transformation in their life. And here's what I want to share with you this morning, is I believe that faith in Jesus can still be that life-changing. That faith is not just a cerebral thing. It's not just simply about what is it that I believe or what is it that I think. That it can have an experiential impact on the way that you and I live every day. And one of the things that we try to do when we pray as a church and what we're trying to teach and disciple our kids and our adults is that one of the things that we believe is that God is speaking. And that when God speaks to us, we have an opportunity to either respond or not respond. And so what we're trying to do as a church is learn, how do we hear God's voice, and how do we believe what we've heard into action? into actual practical application. Because when we start to live out and respond to the voice of God, we will see our faith become more than just something we think about. It'll be something we live and something we experience. And that is the thing that when we talk about salvation, it's more than just putting your faith in Jesus so you don't go to hell. It's more than just putting your faith in Jesus so that you'll go to heaven when you die. Jesus, when he teaches his disciples to pray, he says, you know, say and pray, may your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus' view of salvation was never what after you die. It was when I put my faith in Jesus, my salvation begins now, today. And I've been invited as a people and as a church to join in the work that Jesus is doing to bring his kingdom, to make this earth and the brokenness of this earth look more like the beauty and the wonder and the power of heaven. And that is the church that we are striving to become. So, how do we experience Jesus now and the transformation that putting faith in him can have in our life today? I want to look at the words of Jesus to learn what is a small step that we could take to move our faith maybe from being something we just think about or something we try to believe in to something we live. So my guess is, if you're honest, all of you came in here with a problem or problems. We're pretty good when people come up to us and ask us how we're doing by saying, we're good, we're great. And yet the truth is, there are things going on in our lives, people who are here, that are really challenging, where we're really struggling, where maybe we don't even know how we're going to make it through this challenge or this struggle or this season in our life. And so for some of us, you know, we came in here with very big problems. Problems that you don't know where the solution is going to come. Or maybe there are problems that you've been struggling with for time and time and time again. And you've tried every which way to try to fix it and to try to change. But for some reason, you just keep coming back to that same pattern of behavior or that same pattern of thinking. And you're just going, you know, this must be life, or this just must be me. Like, there's no way that it's going to change or I'm going to be able to change. And so for some of us, you know, we've probably come in here and we're really struggling, and the big problem, I mean, let's just say that this block is our big problem or the big problems that we walked into this morning. You know, for some of you, it might be money. You're just wondering, where is the money going to come to pay the bills? Or how am I ever going to get out of the debt because of the bad choices that I've made? How am I ever going to get out of the debt that my family or that I am drowning in? For some, it might be addiction. You're struggling with addictive behavior, addictive thought. You've maybe struggled with it for years, and you're just like, there's no way I can defeat the power of what this addiction has over me. For some of you, you might have come in here and you just feel alone. You don't have relationships that you need, that you want. For others, you know, it could be your marriage. That for too long, things have been falling apart. You felt disconnected, that you and your spouse, instead of moving closer and closer together as time's gone, you've moved farther and farther and farther apart. For others, it might just be your family, your kids. It might be your identity. You struggle with, you know, who am I really in Christ? Why do I struggle with what I look like? And all the thoughts, the judgment that comes down. For others of you, it might be gossip. You know, the constant temptation just to talk about other people. Maybe lowering people to elevate yourself, to be put up on a pedestal. Maybe you came in and your car broke down. You know, or you struggle with doubt. And you're like, how can I have faith and how can I be a Christian? Or how can I even choose to trust Jesus with my life if I just have this lingering doubt? Maybe it's fear. You're just drowning in fear of the unknown or the future. I mean, whatever it is, put it on that big block. Whatever problem you came in or problems that you came in, put it on this big block. And this is often how we look at our problems. They're huge. And how is it that I can move this? And how is it that I'm going to be able to change this? And we look at our problems and we look at the things that we want to change in our life, and they look so big to us that we go, I must have to make radical changes. And this is what everybody does January 1st. Is I don't like this about my life or about myself. And on January 1st, I'm going to change this big thing. And what do? We start diets. We join gyms. You know, we buy the newest and greatest self-help book. We promise we're going to get up 2 hours earlier every day. And we do it for like a week or two. And then we seem to almost always fall back to our regular patterns. So what if we could hear from Jesus in a way, and what if we had interactions with Jesus, just like the people we read about in the Bible, where the big things and the big problems in their life started to change? Wouldn't it just be an amazing thing for you as we start back into sort of the regular routine of everyday life? Wouldn't it be an amazing experience to tell a story of how Jesus changed your, you know, the way you look at your life, your circumstances? Wouldn't it be an amazing thing to say, like, I've truly been transformed by putting faith in Jesus? That the way that I actually live day to day is changing because of my faith in Jesus. Jesus tells us in Matthew 7 how we can experience real change by putting our faith in him. This is after he is concluding his Sermon on the Mount, which is the best sermon ever given. Jesus gives this message to this large group of people about really the way that God sees the world and the way that we should function as believers in the world. And so if you've never read the Sermon on the Mount, I would encourage you. It covers all sorts of different topics and things that very well we might admit are on our big problem block. And at the end of his sermon, he concludes it with these words. This is Matthew 7, starting in verse 24. He says, therefore. So he's given this whole sermon, and then that word therefore is just like his final point. So because of all that I've said here, he says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. So Jesus concludes his sermon by saying, look, you've really got two options with all that I have shared with you. You can either just store this stuff in your mind, which a lot of us do. We think that faith, we think that being a Christian, that being a good Christian, that maybe even, man, if I'm going to grow, I've got to just know more. What Jesus is saying is he's saying, look, if you just store it, all that I've shared, if you just store it in your brain, guess what? You're building your life on sand. If faith is nothing more than cerebral, in your head, about what you think, then guess what? When life gets hard, when the challenges of life arise, and the rain and the wind and the storm comes, guess what's going to happen? You're going to fall apart. You're going to be blown down. But he says, look, if you want to build your house on rock, if the foundation of your life wants to be so strong that when the temptations of life, when the trials of life, when the suffering of life, when the wind and the rain and the storms of life come upon you, you will stand. You will not be blown away. You will weather that storm. He says you need to build your house on the rock. And what does he say building your house on the rock is? It's putting my words into practice. What he's saying is, he's saying, look, your faith just can't be in your head. Your faith has to be something you live. See, the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, they would tell people how to live. They would tell people things that they needed to know. But what was their fault? They didn't live it. They missed that part. They thought knowing was enough. And yet what Jesus, and this is what blew the minds of the people that were there, and the text says that, is that Jesus says, it's not just knowing more stuff. It's putting my words and putting what the Bible tells us of how to live into practice. And if you start to live your faith, your faith will become stronger and stronger. Your faith will become experiential. It'll be something that you're living. It's something that you'll experience. It's something that will transform you. Jesus says that the key to wisdom, the key to strength, and the key to facing adversity is putting his words into practice. To Jesus, it is more important that we take what we're learning and putting them into practice than just learning more stuff. Here's the big idea. What you practice, basically, the way that you're going to live your life and the way that you're going to spend your time, your money, your talent, what you practice will inevitably become the things that you love. And the things that you love shape the way you live. And more than new ideas and fresh ideas, and even more than new information, practicing Jesus' words will change your life. God has made us to be creatures of habit. And so the way that we live often comes from the habits or the practices that have been ingrained in us. And so we've got to look at, what are the practices of my life, my everyday life? What are the habits for, you know, whether good or bad, that are influencing the way that I live? And if I just think about changing, am I actually going to change? Jesus really is saying what social science is now saying. He said it 2,000 years before them. That it has to start not by how we think or getting more information, but actually practically practicing and changing our behavior. I mean, it's why when we talk about, you know, if you want your kids to be compassionate and learn compassion toward others, it's not going to be by you just constantly telling them. It's going to be by you showing them and inviting them in to show compassion. And guess what will happen? If your kids practice compassion, they will become compassionate people. But if you just tell them to be compassionate and you don't allow, like, practice compassion with them, it's unlikely that they are going to grow up to become compassionate adults. Listen to this couple quotes, and this is what I meant when I said that social science is doing research on habits and the way that we live. And Jesus was saying this in the Sermon on the Mount, and social scientists are just saying it in a different way. This is the book that I mentioned by James Smith, You Are What You Love, The Spiritual Power of Habit. This is what he said. Only about 5% of what we do in a given day is the outcome of conscious, deliberate choices we make, processed by that snowball on the tip of the iceberg that is human consciousness. The rest of our actions and behaviors are managed below the surface by all sorts of learned yet now unconscious ways of intending and navigating the world. Psychologists refer to these acquired unconscious habits as automaticities. For the same reason, Aristotle called them second nature, because these are the ways that we move in the world without even thinking about it. What social scientists are doing in their research is they're showing that, look, only 5% of what we do in a given day, and I don't know if this is like 100% right, but I think it is profound, the percentage of what we do in a day is deliberate, conscious choice. That the majority of what we're doing is from a place of habit. The habits that have ingrained in us, and that there's a snowball effect that leads from those habits. And so, we've all heard that term, that's second nature to me. You don't think about backing the car out of the driveway. You've done it so many times that it's become automatic. It's become second nature. You can do it without thinking about it. I mean, have you ever been driving and you go, I don't even remember how I like really got this far? Your mind wanders, and yet subconsciously you're still driving. See, for all of us, we have very practical routine habits that have been ingrained in us that we just automatically will function from. And when we're trying to change, that is what we're trying to push back against, the automaticities of life, the easy road. Listen to this other quote. This is a quote from a guy named Sean Young. He's a doctor, a medical school professor at UCLA. He wrote a book called Stick With It. He said this, that the mind controls behavior is the basis for many top-selling self-help and popular psychology books. They teach that people can change their behavior by imagining and willing themselves to change. But this is wrong. Most smokers can't quit just by imagining themselves quitting. People don't stick to their New Year's resolutions by telling themselves that this is the year that will be different than every other year. Managers can't get their salespeople to close a deal just by telling them to visualize closing it. Social psychologists know now that the truth lies in the opposite direction. People need to change their actions, and their minds will follow. See, what these bigwig professors and researchers are saying, Jesus already said. What matters, what's going to actually lead to change, is putting my words into practice. Starting with action. And the mind will follow. And yet, we're always the other way. I'm going to stop eating chocolate every night. That's me talking, by the way. You know, unless I just start to replace it probably with something else, just thinking, like an apple, but just thinking that I'm going to change, what Jesus is saying, what social science is saying is good luck. It's unlikely to result in real change. And so our thinking and beliefs are more likely to rise out of our practices and our habits. Think about that. And I'm not saying that what you believe isn't going to influence how you live, but I think we have to think about how we live actually influences what we believe too. It goes both ways. And so what Jesus is saying is he's saying, look, if you practice my words and you make them routine, you will build on rock. And even Jesus, when he talks about our faith, you remember what he said? That it's like, look, it's just faith. You need faith as big as a mustard seed. He's not saying you have to have it all figured out or you have to have this Pope-like faith. All you need is just a little faith in me. And Jesus says, I'll do the heavy lifting. So while we look at our problems and we look at like who we want to become and we look at maybe how weak our faith is, while we think about, I've got to create big changes in my life, maybe the answer is what Jesus told us, just have a little bit of faith. Make a little change. And through that little change and letting God do the heavy lifting and changing us, we may see the big blocks start to topple. Now, Jesus said this first, but some bigwig smart person said it after him. He said this. This is Charles Duhigg. This is the fourth quote, by the way. Nope, I'm sorry. It's the third one. He says this. This is B.J. Fogg out of Stanford. He says what he describes minimal viable effort. Make it tiny. This is what he's saying. This isn't a Christian, but Jesus already said this, just in a different way. Make it tiny. To create a new habit, you must first simplify the behavior. Make it tiny, even ridiculous. A good tiny behavior is easy to do and fast. The key is doing something and making what you do doable. So what this guy's saying is he's saying, look, if you want to change the big things, start small. Jesus said that too. All you need is a faith as big as a mustard seed. If you've seen a mustard seed, it's tiny. So what if you and I, what if we started just to change one simple thing in our life that might have a profound impact on the big problems that we all walked in here with? My boss, the senior pastor of our church network, was telling me a story about how he met with a woman came to him, and she said, Paul, my marriage is just, it's falling apart. I don't know what to do. You know, my husband won't change. And she started to list off all the big problems that he had. And Paul, like, said to her, I go, I can't believe you said this, but it was awesome. He goes, do you want me to feel bad for you? Or do you want to know how maybe you could change? I wish I could have saw the woman's face. I don't know if I would say that, like, but he felt bold in that moment to say, look, you can either just look at his problems while ignoring yours. You could look at the problems in your marriage as these big, huge hurdles that you're going to worry about. They're going to have control over the way that you think. Or you could choose to put something into action, something small in your marriage. And maybe see if that changes and heals your marriage. And so here's what he told her to do. He said, what if you prayed the Lord's Prayer? You know, Jesus instructed us. He didn't say, like, here are the habits that you need to implement, but he did give us some strong commandments. And one of the things is he said, here's how you should pray. So Jesus is, in other words, saying, he didn't use these exact words, but here is a pattern, here is a habit you should put into practice in your life. Prayer. Praying the Lord's Prayer. And so he said to her, this woman, he said, pray the Lord's Prayer 2 times, 3 times a day. Don't think about how you're going to change your husband and how you need to change and all the big things and the big hurdles in your marriage. Just pray the Lord's Prayer 2 or 3 times a day. Put that habit, create that habit. The second thing that Jesus told us, the great commandments, love God with all of your heart, your soul, your strength, your mind, and then love your neighbor as yourself. He said, what if you took that? Because that is another, that's another habit or pattern or way of living that Jesus called us to live. What if you just tried once a day to selfishly regardless if your husband deserves it or not, to love him. Just like love your neighbor as yourself. So, you know, try. And she agreed. Paul told me that she came back a month later. And the amazing thing that happened is their marriage, like, it wasn't like their marriage went from rock bottom to, like, the best marriage in the world, but it didn't end. And she said that it's moving forward, becoming more and more alive. And that not only did she personally experience change by implementing those steps into her life, not only did she experience transformation, but she said she noticed her husband changing because of it as well. Jesus gave us these things in his word that we should do. And when we live them out, as simple as they may sound, they can have profound impact on the big problems in our life. In the book, The Power of Habit, the author Charles Duhigg says this. He calls keystone habits. Keystone habits are correlated with other good habits. For example, regular exercise often goes hand in hand with better eating habits. Keystone habits don't create a direct cause and effect relationship, but they can spark chain reactions that help other good habits take hold. Duhigg writes, there are 8 simple keystone habits that can change your life for the better. 1, having dinner with your family. Having a family dinner, gathering your family around the table every night may seem small, but it has a huge impact. Duhigg writes, families who habitually eat dinner together seem to raise children with better homework skills, higher grades, greater emotional control, and more confidence, Psychology Today reports. So, I mean, you think about, like, all those things that you start to worry about with your kids. How am I going to raise them to be good human beings? And how are they going to get good grades and care about school? And how do I manage their emotional outbursts and all those different things? I mean, those are big responsibilities. Those are big challenges and responsibilities that we have as parents. And yet maybe something as simple as we're going to have a meal together could have an impact. Now, Jesus didn't use the word keystone habits, but what social scientists are saying is that keystone habits, these small changes, can have a domino-like effect on our life. And so what Jesus, in not using keystone habits, he did tell us, pray, come to me, pray the Lord's Prayer. This is how to pray. Learn what it means to love me. And love others as you love yourself. If you start to implement those things, you may just see the faith of a mustard seed with the power of God's Spirit change and transform your life. So let's get back to our big problems, our big problem block. What if instead of coming up with all the solutions of whatever is your big problem. And I'm not saying ignore potential solutions. But instead of just the solutions that you come up with, on top of that, what if you put into practice praying the Lord's Prayer every day? What if you put into practice loving God and loving your neighbor? What if you just said, I'm going to do one sacrificial act of love? Whether or not a person deserves it or has earned it or not, I'm going to choose to radically love somebody. He had that, Paul had that gal who was struggling in her marriage. He challenged her to do it for 21 days. So my challenge to us as a church is what if we decided and we chose for 21 days to pray the Lord's Prayer 2-3 times a day and to live out the great commandments that Jesus gave us. When you came in, you got a card that looks like this. And on one side has the Lord's Prayer. So if you don't know the Lord's Prayer, it's on this card. On the other side is the Great Commandments out of Matthew 22. What if you just held on to this? You put it somewhere you're going to see it every day. And for the next 23 weeks, you prayed 2 or 3 times the Lord's Prayer, and you tried to live out the commandment, even just once a day. What might happen? Well, guess what? Jesus says when you put these practices, when you put my words into practice, you're going to see your life change. That's not me saying it. It's not some social scientist saying it. It's the God that we serve who can change our hearts. Who, like every self-help book that's out there, can't touch the power of the Holy Spirit. So what if we join together and we put those two things into practice? What might happen? We might see the big problems. By taking 21 days, this is 21 of these cards. What if we put into practice, and over the next 3 weeks, we started with faith like a mustard seed? What could happen? We might see a... Oh, yeah! We could see a chain reaction where the big problems that we see are small in the eyes of our God. And maybe we're just trying too hard. Or maybe we're just thinking about it. And the answer is, what is the little steps, the little habits, the commandments that Jesus has given? What if I put those into practice? What could the chain effect have on my life? I hope you'll seriously consider doing it. And I'm going to do it. And I want you to know that, and you can keep me accountable to that. And so send me a text or call me or ask me on Sunday, are you doing it? And what would be really, really neat is for those of you who do it, when you experience change, to share with our church what we saw God do. For some of you, you might need to put your faith in Jesus for the first time because you've never done it. And I don't want to encourage you, regardless of the doubts, regardless of the hurdles that you may have, what if you just, you took a risk and you said, I'm going to put my faith in Jesus today. What have you got to lose? Well, you know what you've got to lose? You've got to lose seeing Jesus change your life. Jesus went to the cross. The power of God's Spirit rose him from the dead. And it's that power that when we receive the gift of grace and the gospel, it's that power that can change us. Honestly, it's that's the only power that can truly change us. So if you need to put your faith in Jesus for the first time this morning, I'm going to invite you to pray with me. For those of you who have put your faith in Jesus, maybe the answer is to step in and say, I'm going to pray the Lord's Prayer, and I'm going to live out the great commandments, and I'm going to give it 3 weeks and just see what sort of domino effect it could have on my life. Let's stand together and let's pray. Lord Jesus, I ask that you would help us to put our faith in you. Regardless of the doubts or the trouble or challenges that we might have with belief, I pray, Lord Jesus, that we would have faith in what your word says, in what you instruct us. Not what we see, but what we know and what we read in your word. And I pray, God, that for those who have never put their faith in you, Lord Jesus, this is an opportunity. That they would, in humility and surrender, say, God, I need you. And regardless of how I feel, maybe, I want to put my faith in you. I believe, Lord Jesus, that you came, you died, you resurrected. And the good news is that you have paid the price for my sin. And I receive your Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, change us. Change me. For those of us who have received that gift, Lord Jesus, and who are still just looking at our problems and wondering, what am I going to do and how are things going to change? Maybe part of the answer, along with looking for solutions, is to put into practice, Lord Jesus, two things you tell us to do. To pray like you taught us to pray, and to learn to love you and to love our neighbor. And I just pray, Holy Spirit, that those of us who enter into that, change us. Thanks, God, that we just need as much as a mustard seed of faith. Thank you, Jesus, that you do the heavy lifting. We love you. We worship you. In Jesus' name we pray this. All in. Amen.